Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dave Plyer back with you here on 720 WGN. So Dave Turin is searching for a lost and abandoned mine to resurrect and chase the gold the old timers left behind. He stars in the Discovery Channel series Gold Rush, Dave Turin's Lost Mine, which is kicking off its second season. And Dave joins us tonight. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'm out here in the desert sunshine in sunny Arizona. It's a beautiful day. About 75 degrees, cool breeze. It's beautiful.
You know, it sounds lovely. It's not anywhere near that here in Chicago. it sounds really, I'd much rather be there right now. You know, I wanted to dig a little bit into your background and all this. In your early life, you pretty much grew up in the great outdoors, didn't you?
I did, Dave. I had a great upbringing. We lived at the base of Mount Hood in Oregon, and our playground, I had five brothers and sisters, and three of my brothers are still running our family business that I was a big part of. But we grew up in the foothills of Mount Hood, and we, mom and dad just kind of let us run wild. There weren't a lot of people. We hunt and fished and ran around, and then later on we started a rock quarry, and that's how I got started getting my mining experience. And that was a lot of years ago, Dave.
Yeah, I bet. No, I bet. Yeah, tell me a little bit about the family's rock quarry business and what that was all about and, you know, how you started and worked your way up.
Yeah, you know, it was pretty interesting. I went to college, played some football, found out I wasn't exactly as good as I thought I was. And then that, you know, when that goes away, I went and continued my education. I got an engineering degree. And that was in the 80s, and the economy was tough. And I started looking. I actually loaded my family up in a Buick station wagon with the false Woody on the side of the station wagon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Classic.
I hauled them to Arizona, to California. I dropped off a bunch of resumes, and I could not land a job. I was, you know, straight out of college. And about that time, my dad calls me up and says, "Hey, you know, this rock quarry that we have our asphalt plant set up in is going up for sale. It went through bankruptcy," and he goes, "It's a big risk, but I'd like you to come back with family and you know, run that." And so that's how it started. And the really amazing part about my dad was he wanted his four sons to be active, and so he made us partners. We had a little bit of money. We all threw it in, and it was really a family business, and that's how I got my mining start in hard rock. And we were mining rock for paving and driveways and things like that.
So Dave, let me ask you this, like, when you got out of college, what were you gonna do? Like, when you were applying for jobs and stuff, where were you heading in this other direction at the time?
It was civil engineering.
Oh, okay.
I was I came out of college with a civil engineering degree and then just started pounding the pavement. And you know, you can look at it, back then I kind of looked at it as a defeat, but really it was an amazing stepping stone. You know, a lot of times when you think that that failure, it's really a door of opportunity. Yeah. That I've always tried to, you know, when I fall, or I always get back up, and I always look and say, hey, that gives me a new opportunity. That's gone. Let's move on and see what we, you know, can do moving forward. And it was an amazing opportunity to work with my family, and it was a great business. All of my cousins, my kids, they all worked in the business, and it was great.
You know, and not everybody can do that either, because, you know, I know plenty of families that have tried to work together, and it can be contentious and so forth. And I'm sure there's those moments too, but it really does create a different sense of belonging and bonding when you get to work with the people you love every single day.
Yeah, that's right. And that's exactly what I've tried to instill in this crew that I have now. We truly are family. I mean, we've gone through some difficult times this season, and you're going to see that on the show this season. We suffered. We some real personal tragedy that we went through. And what we had to do was, you know, there was nobody to help us. We didn't have, you know, our own families there. It was just basically about six of us. And we had to come together and really pick each other up after a lot of some of the, what happened in the show. And it was that team, that family atmosphere, that really got us through some difficult times. And so what you're going to see on the show is really a roller coaster ride. You'll see us at the top of the mountain, and then we come crashing down in, you know, some dark, low valleys, and then we come back. And every time we are in the bottom of that valley, we find a way to climb out. We put our boots on and get up out of bed, get off the couch, and we go to work. And that's how we, that's what you're going to see this year.
How did the opportunity originally, Dave, with the Gold Rush series that you first got involved in, like, how did that come about? How did you all of a sudden pivot to running this family business? You were consulting a little bit. Like, how did that even, you know, enter your sphere?
I met a guy named Todd Hoffman.
Yeah.
Todd Hoffman is crazy. So here's how it went. You know, Todd knew me, and I knew of Todd. We went to the same church there in our little hometown of Sandy. And one day I was out of his airport, and I was looking at a lodge that he had out there. And he looks at me and he goes, "Hey, you're that guy up there at the rock pit, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." And he goes, "Come here." He goes, "I want to show you something." So we walk out to the backyard, and he's got this rickety old ragged ragtag wash plant. And he says to me, he goes, "I'm going to take that to Alaska and go gold mining." And I thought, dude, you are crazy. Number one, that stuff's not going to hold up. Number two, I don't think it's going to work. But I liked Todd. We hit it off. We became really good friends. And what I did was I took him and I said, "Hey, let me help you." So we wired up his generator, helped him with some pumps, taught him how to move some dirt, you know, around our rock pit. And just really, I was helping a brother out.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy thing about Todd is, as I'm doing this, I'm just thinking this goofball is going to go up to Alaska and go gold mining. Well, he keeps telling me, he goes, "Oh, and by the way," he says, "I think I'm going to do a TV show." Now, think about that. Your buddy's like, "I'm going to go do a TV show." I go, "Yeah, good luck with that, pal." You know what? I didn't think much of it. And then he calls me back about a couple months later. He goes, "Hey, I'm loading up, headed to Alaska. Will you come help us load up?" I show up, and lo and behold, there's camera guys, there's sound guys,
yeah,
there's producers, and I think to myself, he pulled it off.
He did it.
But the crazy thing is, Dave, you know, when you're in the middle of something like that, I thought to myself, why would anybody want to watch men mine for gold and work? Well, guess what? It became Gold Rush is now Discovery Channel's number one show in history. I mean, it's long-standing.
Amazing.
What are they on, their 11th or 12th season?
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable. And then I had a spinoff. Freddie Dodge has a spinoff. Fred Hurt has a spinoff. It's amazing.
We're talking to Dave Turin of Discovery Channel's Gold Rush, Dave Turin's Lost Mine, and there's more when we come back on 720 WGN. State player on 720 WGN. We're talking to Dave Turin of Discovery Channel's Gold Rush, Dave Turin's Lost Mine. Now, after pandemic travel restrictions, because now that's, you know, this new season you were up against, you had original plans, I think, to mine in Alaska. And of course, that made things a little impossible. And you finally set up operations in Colorado, correct?
Exactly. I had my sights set on Alaska. In Alaska, you know, it's really kind of our last frontier. It's wild. It's a land of extremes. I really enjoy the far north. And with the pandemic, you know, we just weren't moving things. It was difficult to get equipment moved. It was difficult to move my crew. You know, if we went into Alaska, it's like a two-week quarantine. And every day that we couldn't go was a day shorter in my season. Finally, in the spring, I go, I can't do it. There's just not enough time. And then we had to scramble because now it's, you know, May, and I have nowhere to mine. And everybody's looking at me like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And my guys are basically like, I'm out of work.
Right.
What are we going to do? In the midst of this COVID, there's a lot of people that were, you know, out of luck, out of work. And anyway, you know, stars aligned, you know, you call it God, but we found a place in Colorado, and we found some gold, and it was almost like the 11th hour gold. We found it, and then off we go. And we started mining in Colorado, and again, you're going to see us struggle at the beginning, but we pull it out, and it's amazing to see this ragtag group of guys come together and find some gold. And it's really what we're doing, Dave. It's a treasure hunt, because in America, our history really is around gold. You know, it's what started Colorado. It started California. All these people came west to find gold. And now I get the opportunity to go in behind. And what I do is I pit my wisdom, my experience, my wits against the old timers who were there before me. And so many times I'm walking down a stream and I'm thinking to myself, I'm walking in the same footsteps as the old timers that were here 100 or 150 years ago. And I get to go on this search and this treasure hunt to find that gold that they left. Sometimes I hit some, sometimes I walk away with empty pockets.
Well, I was going to say, like, how do you even find the information, like, you know, from that they left behind, like what they did, where they went, what they left behind? What does that process look like? Because you must do some research into the area. Like, are there records out there that you can see who was there at what time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of it's history. There's a lot of people that are enamored by gold. They're enamored by the history. You know, there's generations of gold miners, and I have talked to guys who their great grandfather ran the dredge in Colorado. One of the most successful dredges in Colorado history was where we were mining, and I met the grandson, and he told me stories about him going out there with his granddad. Wow. And he would sit on that big dredge 100, or, you know, it wasn't 100 years ago, but anyway, it was just crazy to have that history and to hear the stories. And then you can go to the library. There's a lot of, I got to read a journal of one of the guys that was running the dredge.
Wow.
'Cause here's
that's cool.
What we ran up against. Yeah. One of the things we ran up against was, why did the dredges quit? What makes them move on? And I got to read journals and figure out why the dredge quit. It's always a mystery.
And how important is learning from the past and taking on a new adventure? I mean, it's just got to be exhilarating, right?
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. I like history, and I believe that we need to keep our history. We need to learn from our history, because here's one of the main things that I've learned about our history is that we can't make the same mistakes the people made before us. Mm-hmm. And one of the great things I get to do is I'll go into an area where the dredge was, right? Now, 100 years ago, they didn't know there was going to be millions of people that live in Colorado. So they would go through there, and they would just tear up that valley, right? And what they do is they turn the environment upside down. So all the big rocks sit at top. Nothing really grows in that until you put topsoil on it. So what I have the opportunity to do is go find some gold, and then I get to put the ground back better than it was. I get to go in there, reclaim, run some topsoil, plant it, and watch it, you know, come back to life, because the old timers didn't know. And so that's one of the things I love about this show, is I get to show that mining has good benefits to it. We can go in there and improve the land that the old timers left us.
That's amazing.
It's not only just getting gold and making, you know, our future better, but it's also putting some of the ground back, making it better than what we found it.
You know, I do learn a lot from the show, and pretty much every show that's on the Discovery Channel. I mean, that's what it's all about. And, you know, one of the things is season two, you've got this new state-of-the-art wash plant, which, you know, again, learning from the series, you know, how important is it to have the right equipment in doing all this? Because I know I've seen you guys, and on the original series, like, struggle with, okay, we're not, you know, it's not clean water coming through here. It's all muddy. It's so important to have that equipment working properly and really the best that's out there so that you are as efficient as possible in the period of time that you're doing this.
You're exactly right. And it's experience. You know, when I started with Todd, I didn't know much about gold mining, but as I kept doing it and evolving, I found that each site I went to, because I've been around the world. I've been to South America, Chile, Peru, Guyana, been all the way up to the Yukon, to the Arctic Circle, Alaska. I've mined all over, and each piece of ground has its own issues and problems, and you have to adapt. You have to find equipment that fits that, because you can't take a piece of equipment from South America, or in our case, from North America, and then go to South America and think you're going to be successful. We got our butts kicked in South America. And so you have to learn to adapt. And what I did this year was I took a piece of equipment that was really basically designed to reclaim materials in a city. And I took it, modified it, so that I could move it quickly, because any more, the pieces of ground that I mine are pretty small. So I have to hit it, move, get the gold, move. And what I did is I designed something that was designed, or I redesigned it from something that was in a city, reclaiming aggregates, put a wash plant on it or wash system, and then captured gold with it. And it works.
I was going to say, you got to catch everything you can, or you're just throwing money right out the door for the most part.
Oh, exactly. Yep. That sluice box is your bank, and you got to keep that thing.
Yeah.
You got to keep that thing open.
Yeah. Teamwork is so incredibly important in any business. You know, how do you bring your team together? Because I always, when I'm watching your show, like, I can tell your team trusts you and your vision. And that is really important from a leadership perspective, but also from a teamwork perspective as well.
Yeah, so through the years, I've hired, and unfortunately, I've had to fire a lot of people. And so I've had a lot of experience with people. And so, you know, typically, throughout my career, like at our family business, I would hire somebody that had the best experience. Let's say I hire a guy that's 45 years old. He's been running equipment for 30 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I hire him because he's got the experience and he knows how to run that equipment. What I've found is, him and I might not hit it off. He might not have the same moral character that I have. He might not be a family man like I am. And so what I found is, as I've gotten older, what I like to do is find somebody that I like. Mm-hmm. I can hang out with them. Mm-hmm. They have the same principles, moral principles, you know, they're family people, and that's important. And if I like hanging out with them, I'm like, all right, I can deal with this guy, because we live with each other 24/7.
You do. You really do.
7 days a week, we're together.
Yeah.
So what I found is I find somebody that's a good person. I like them, can trust them, and then I make a miner out of them. And now I'm training them how I want them to work, how I want them to run that piece of equipment, how I want them to find the gold, how to look at the ground, and then I teach them how to be good miners. And you know what? I feel like it's working. And I've got one of the best crews I've ever worked with in my life. I love the guys, and we're tight. We're family. And every week we call each other. Like, because after, you know, the main mining season, winter sets in, we all go our separate ways. But we call each other once a week. We have, you know, we have a nice chat. We talk about families. We say a prayer. And we move on. And it's great. I love these guys.
Love it. And it sounds like you're having fun, working all the time. But what do you do outside of this for fun, Dave? You got to have a little outlet somewhere.
Well, I'm a golf fanatic.
Okay.
I don't play enough golf. This gets in my way, Dave.
It does.
I want to go play golf.
Gets in my way. That's great. Well,
yeah. No, I love hanging out with my wife. The fun thing is, my wife travels with me now. She was a labor and delivery nurse for 25 years, and now she's retired, and she just follows me. And this last season, she actually worked in the gold room.
Oh, fun.
And she was great. She loved it.
That's awesome.
Absolutely loved it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, you can catch Gold Rush, Dave Turin's Lost Mine, Friday nights at 7 Central, and, of course, streaming on Discovery Plus. Dave, nice meeting you, and really great show, and I'm so glad you spent some time with us tonight.
Well, thanks for having me, Dave, and I hope it gets warmer there in Chicago.
Me too, brother. Me too. All right. Thanks again, Dave. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. News is next here on 720 WGN.